So my name is Caleb Dickinson. I'm from Bethany, Oklahoma City area. I'm shooting my wonderful Daystate Red Wolf in 25 cal with the beautiful PRS chassis. I shoot speed as well, so I always had to have a speed reloader on my quick throw lever. I have a Hawk Sidewinder 8-32. It did well for me today. One away from clearing the course. You can always just give it your best and hope for good outcome.
Step right into the world of air guns with the Atlas Air Guns Podcast. In today's episode, we sit down for an engaging chat with Caleb Dickinson, a prominent figure in Team Centercut. From his beginnings in the sport to his insights on airgun competitions, we cover it all. Get ready for an enthralling conversation with the mustache man himself, the one and only Caleb Dickinson.
So extreme field target, you've been doing a lot of that. So that was your first time at the Cajun Classic. What do you think of that?
Yeah, they put on an amazing event. In Oklahoma here, we shoot in dark and, you know, shaded conditions in the woods. But there in the bayou, it's shaded. I mean, it's dark, you know, a lot of trees, a lot of shadows. And two, they have dark targets with dark kill zones, with dark backgrounds, and then shade. So ranging is very difficult, you know, especially at 16 power. You're, you know, really trying to cut it close with your ranging. And so, yeah, that's the most difficult part about it. For me, it was. But I shot better the second day. So as long as I finish strong, even in those days that you don't quite have it, quote unquote have it, finishing strong is my number one, goal, you know, in a competition.
Nice. So let's go into, your team for a little bit. Team Centercut, the captain, I should say, is, Mike Bricker. We had him on the podcast, I think like 3 years ago now, or maybe two. Who else is the current members of Team Centercut? Because it's kind of like a secretive group. It's the Illuminati for all intents and purposes. So who's in this montage group that you have?
So we have Bill Miller. We have Derek Wall. You're putting me on the spot. Derek Wall, Barbara Pellegrino, Tony Pellegrino. And then, Mike Bricker, Dave Wilson, Bill Miller, and we have, Paycon. I don't remember Paycon's. Yeah. How to say his last name, Paycon and our newest member is Steve Govedich. And so
he's a Florida boy too.
Yeah. So, I think I got everybody.
Yeah. He came to the Extreme Field Target Florida Grand Prix. He's a good shooter. I think they actually run a club on the West Coast of Florida, somewhere around there.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was joking with them. I was like, hey, Steve, you know, you can, just on your way, pick me up. This was at the time we were talking about going to Armac and stuff. And I was like, just drive up, you know, pick me up, you know, all the way. He's like, no, I'm flying, man. I ain't driving all that way.
It's a long drive. I mean, once you get past Texas too, from Texas to Arizona, like Arizona, all of a sudden you feel like things are happening again, but that in between period, but after Austin, all the way through New Mexico to Arizona, there's nothing there. I mean, it's dead. And it's, you see like a tumbleweed, you're like, wow, this is really entertaining.
Right. Yeah.
I've driven like 7 times across the country in the last 2 years. And it's just, I hate flying, but driving is pretty hard.
Yeah. I rode with, Derek and I rode
from Houston, Texas, all the way over to, you know, EBR last year. And I've being an Okie, you know, you go down to Texas all the time, you know, and it's only a 3-hour drive to Dallas, but you're like, man, we're never going to get out of Texas. It's just like, you just don't realize how expansive Texas is, you know? And then once, like you said, once you get out of Texas, you're like, all right, we made it. Like, we can knock this out in a couple hours, you know?
New Mexico sucks, though.
Yeah, it does, too. There's just okay, nothing
out
there.
Sorry to all the New Mexico people, but I think even the New Mexico people are like, yeah, it sucks here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. Texas, like Texans, one thing I noticed about Texans is they're like, oh, it's just down the road, only 4 hours. You're like, what? And they're used to that, like driving 4 or 5 hours.
And it's the same thing with everybody over in the UK, you know, or, you know, in Europe, where, you know, they go, man, there's no way I'm going to drive 3 hours to go do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, that's not that far. It's like from here to Tulsa, it's only an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on traffic. And then you do that in a day and it's no big deal. You know, that's just like, drive there and back, and that just blows their mind, you know, kind of thing. Like, there's no way I'd drive, you know, why not get on a train or do whatever? And it's,
well, I think that's one of the weird little like subcultures with air guns, is especially field target. I mean, some of the air gunners, it's like, okay, once a year they're like, oh, I gotta go to EBR, RMAC, or whatever the competition is. They go, I gotta go. And they complain the whole time. But the field target guys, they do that every week where they're like, hey, I'm gonna travel, you know, 12 hours going up to Ohio, shoot this competition, turn around, drive back, work my normal job the next day. And that's like a common thing for field target. And they all do it and there's no money in it. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do. It's like to go to Ron Robertson's extreme field target matches. It's a 4-hour drive there and back, you know, so I'll go down there, shoot that weekend, and then drive right back and, you know, go to work, you know, kind of thing. And they just started a Dave Cole and Mark Welker and Curtis Nelson. They all started an after match up there in Tulsa. And so it's kind of one of those things that you just, oh, it's just an hour and a half trip, you know, there and back. You might stop and grab you something to eat cool, you know, somewhere cool, and go shoot field target and come back, you know. It's just for the love of the game, right, you know.
So there's a lot of these new clubs opening up, and there's also larger, I've heard rumor that even there's even larger events going to happen even in my state. So, you know, we're talking like you have NAC, for example, and you have other things happening in the background that are going to be probably equivalent to larger events like EBR and RMAC. Do you think that the larger events are going to oversaturate where people can't participate because they have not enough vacation time?
Well, I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, it's a catch-22, but, you know, on the other hand, I would say no, you know, because, you know, it would give us more options to go, okay, well, I can go to NAC and EBR, or I can go to RMAC, and, you know, and honestly, I think that's as the community. I mean, I've only been in air guns for like 2 years now, two and a half years, and just in that time, the air gun community has grown so much, and the competition scene has grown so much that I'm like, man, can we get more? You know, kind of thing. And obviously, everybody has a lot air guns. Unfortunately, air guns are not life, you know, and is not life. But for a lot of us that we have daily, you know, jobs that we go to, but it would be cool to have big competitions to go to in more areas. You know, it's just like with the extreme field target. I hope that more the Grand Prix series gets bigger so that we can, you know, like the closest Grand Prix to me is Ron's in Texas. You know, you got guys down in Florida can shoot a Grand Prix down there, you know, and or, you know, in Georgia and all those surrounding states there that can just drive down. And so that's what I'm really hoping for in extreme field target, is that it just continues to grow and more GPs and, you know. More. Nobody's ever said more air guns is not a bad thing.
Well, the nice thing about the Grand Prix is that it really does make it more meritorious, and not just meritorious, but you know, people that are actually putting their energy into the sport are getting reward for it. And if they do well in the competition, they get to carry those over to the nationals if they so choose. And that's a really nice thing that actually does play into that. I do see, not just for Extreme Field Target, but for all the events, I do see eventually the necessity of getting a point system that's going to bleed into that larger event. Otherwise, you're going to just have a huge event occupied by some people that might be good shooters, but they maybe not should not compete. You know what I mean?
Well,
so, at that event. So
yeah, right. And you do have a GP point system, you know, for Extreme Field Target. And last year at EBR, even though I won the competition or won the national event, I came in second in the GP series to John Bagakis because he beat me by 1 point. So them boys over there, they have more opportunities to shoot GPs and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's kind of like, I had a podcast with him, man, it must have been 3 years ago, but he works an odd job or something so he can shoot. I mean, shooting is his life. So that's what he likes to do here, do everything he can to shoot. And that, I think before he was doing the same for another hobby. It might have been RC cars or one of those other hobbies, but he's one of those guys.
I think he was doing pistols and something like that. That's one thing that's cool about, you know, this community is that, you know, you get to go into these competitions. You know, yeah, it costs money, and yeah, it's difficult to get there sometimes, but I mean, you get to meet all kinds of cool people. You know, it's just like, you know, Roger's on your podcast quite often, and
that's why
he's a good laugh, right?
I put him on here. I don't put him on every single time, right? But I put him on like every other time. I just use and abuse him, but
good entertainment. Get a good laugh in, right?
But if you're down to talk aliens, he's the guy to have. He's the guy to have on.
But I, 22, he came to the States, and I just enjoyed talking with him, you know, and just getting to meet those people that you don't, you know, you may only see online, you know, like yourself. You know, we got to meet at both 22 and 23 EBRs, and so that's what's great. One great thing about these competitions is, you know, sometimes you even end up becoming like almost family with some of these guys. I mean, that's one great thing about Team Centercut is that we are a big family, you know.
On that note, you forgot Augie, right?
Oh my gosh, Augie, yeah. I did.
Augie, yeah.
I knew you would put me on the spot, and I should have had it all.
See, I know your team better than you do. How's that?
Oh my gosh.
Augie's a great guy.
I feel terrible. Him. All right, you got to edit that out. Edit that in.
Oh, I totally forgot too, but yeah, I've known him for a while. He's a super nice guy, and it was really cool.
Dude, Augie's phenomenal. And he's a good cook. Andy's a really good cook.
Is he?
Yeah. He cooked for the team. I forgot the dish, but it was rice and chicken and all kinds of seasoning. It was very good, but
yeah,
I feel terrible now. Thank you.
Last EBR was the first time he's been there, and almost couldn't make it happen. Some stuff in the background happened, but he was able to come, and it was so cool. Cause I was like, I think the first time I've ever met him in person, which was really nice. Cause I've talked to him for years online. Well, he was a good shot. I mean, I think he came in second on Sportsman. So, and then Mike, you know, swooped in really fast again.
Yeah.
Because he's a sweeper.
Yeah, Augie's a great, great bench press shooter. Yeah. But now I feel terrible. Thank you. you know, but I mean, it happens, right? Family, you're like, hey, yeah, you kid, or, you know, you.
Augie, that guy.
Yeah.
So what you said, you've been in air guns for 2 years.
Yeah.
How did you start it? You get a Benjamin Marauder? Like what was your starting program?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I got a Umarex Gauntlet Gen 1. Several years ago, you know, before I got even into air guns, several years prior, you know, of course, I was watching, you know, this crazy guy, you know, Ted, you know, Ted's Holdover, and watching his videos. And I was just like, man, that looks like a lot of fun. And I've been competitive in sports all my life. Never I didn't do a lot of hunting. I didn't do a lot of shooting prior, but I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to dip my foot in and try it. And I just had my gauntlet for a couple months, and I was like, I wonder if there's like anywhere to like really shoot this. Is there a community? And I think I saw somewhere on like Airgun Nation that there was like a field target. And I was like, so I called Pearl and there at Oklahoma City, and she's like, yeah, come on out, you can watch, you know. I don't think you can use your, you know, it'd probably be feasible to use your gauntlet, but you can at least come out and watch. And I think that next competition, or it was that weekend at that competition, one of the guys was like, hey, I got a Marauder sitting in the safe if you want to get into this. And I was like, yes, you know. I was just like, so I bought bought a Marauder 177 to get into Field Target, and I shot that for a while. And now I shoot the Day State Revere Safari Huntsman.
So I saw you did something with your Day State. I don't think it was the Revere's for
Red Wolf
power rifle. Yeah, you did something.
Yeah,
like you had the GP and you repainted it.
Yeah, so I did. It's Cerakoted. I took my PRS chassis and I took it completely apart. I was originally going to get it anodized, but that didn't work out whatsoever. And it actually turned out terrible. So I was like, I got to figure something out, because this looks like absolutely terrible anodized. The way this, you know, again, it was a guy that had a lot of great reviews online and everything. And he said he knew what he was doing, but it turned out terrible.
Anodization's hard.
Yeah. Well, and two, I didn't realize that there's like different alloys and the metal and, you know, anyway, so it was a big, long, drawn out thing. So I went and took it to even more of a professional and got it Cerakoted, and it looks absolutely killer.
So how do you like the Red Wolf Grand Prix? I always like to ask that, because people seem to, once they get it, they're hooked.
So the Red Wolf, I will say, I've had an Impact, and I've had a Wildcat. I've had, what else have I, you know, those are the two higher end air guns, I would say, are, you know, and they're great guns. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed them, but, I was like, man, even before I joined the team, I was like, man, I really like the looks of those Red Wolves. I really, the long, you know, their longer rifle, traditional rifle look to them. And, so I went ahead and bought a Red Wolf in, 22 caliber. So when everybody was having problems with the 22 redesign ammo, you know, having, you know, flyers and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, man, is there for competition, is there a projectile that would work better for me? And so Mike Bricker and a few others, Bobby Colgren, it was like, man, try 25 cal. I think you'll really like it. And so I bought a 25 cal barrel for the Red Wolf and converted it. And I absolutely love it. I would have 8 Red Wolves if I could. A lot of people don't like the computer in it, but I think that's one thing that sets it apart, is that literally, like today I was practicing, and the temperature shifted I was playing with the speed, not the temperature. I was playing with the speed of my projectile just to see if there was something out there that I hadn't tried yet. So I was literally able just to change the voltage by 0.22% and literally change my speed like that. I didn't have to change regulator. I didn't have to change hammer spring. I mean, everything just worked. And that's one thing that, you know, I've loved about my Red Wolf, and, you know, I don't have POI shift. I mean, literally I take it out of the case, I check zero. Typically, it's, you know, a click or two, and we're off to the races.
The they say in Brocock for me, man, they are just, I love those guns. And the point of impact change, what you're talking about, like all their guns are just so well made. They're real barrels. So like the Ghost, for example, that barrel, you can move it around and stuff and you won't have that monocoque.
I painted my Ghost as well.
Oh, you did?
I painted my Ghost as well.
I actually mentioned that in one of the podcasts we did, the barrel, right?
I painted the butt pad. I painted
gold,
the top rail.
Gold finger?
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't a podcast. It was a video I did. A couple of videos ago, I mentioned it, and because I remember seeing it, the gold finger, and I was like, oh, that's a smart name.
Honestly, with the new color, it has more of that, like, you know, like Leonidas, you know, Spartan 300, you know, kind of, you know, look to it. So it's a Goldfinger right now, but I think I changed it to like Leonidas, you know.
Just Goldfinger.
Okay.
Keep a Goldfinger. Yeah. That's way better. 100%
okay.
Better.
Way
hey, maybe even get some, like, you could do some, what is that? Awesome Powers, you know, like the Goldfinger joke. You could do like put some like gold, like cough balls on the bottom from a car. Just do
like
some
that.
Kooky stuff like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom rail, the BRK bottom rail with the M-locks on it is gold. The PRS butt pad is gold. The top rail, both the top rails are gold.
Is that one 25 cal as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I love 25 cal.
Going back to electronics, I don't dive too much into the electronics or really at all, but I do admire them. The Alpha Wolf's a really great gun, just super great. I mean, obviously it's the same kind of platform as the Ghost, just the electronic side. But a lot of people are definitely scared of them. And I think it is the feature. It's just going to take a while for people to.
It's just like trying to find that harmonic tune between the hammer and the, you know, regulator and, you know, on anything else, you know, but with the electronics, man, it's just, it just works, you know, it's just, you know, with the only ones that I've shot are the Delta Wolf, which is, you know, Alpha, Delta, and then the Red Wolf, but, and then I think the Pulsar as well as a computer in it as well. But, the Delta Wolf, I mean, literally I was playing with Derek's and I just bumped up the speed to where I want it and boom, shot it. It's like, how easy was that? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it's like three shots and it'll cue in the speed.
Yeah.
I know Augie and Mike Bricker are destined to shoot the Scout this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they've been
electronic gun.
Yeah. They keep posting, you know, group pictures of their groups in the chat our team chat.
It
like,
doesn't count.
You know,
let's see it live action. That's the only thing we care about. Yeah.
But I mean, that's those are great guns as well. You know, you have to razz each other a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it's that's kind of the whole team atmosphere. You just got to give each other a hard time.
So on your team, when's the next time the majority of you are getting together? Is that going to be RMAC?
So there's an Oregon shoot that a good, I think four or five of them are getting together in Oregon.
That's the Ashland, Oregon event.
Ashland, yeah, that's right. Ashland, Oregon event that they're doing.
I think
it's
Wayne that is the match director there.
Right. Okay, yeah, I think that's what. And then RMAC would be the next biggest event that everybody's getting together.
And you're going to that one, right?
So, unfortunately, I won't be able. I found out that my in-laws are not able to watch my kids.
How many kids do you have? Three?
So I have two kids.
Two?
Yeah,
I got you beat.
Yeah, you did.
I got three.
Yeah, my wife and I keep, like, are we sure? We're good with two? Okay, we're good with two. All right. Yeah.
It gets a lot harder, the three, than it's like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to
ask
for a table.
You only have two hands, so.
Right. And then you go out to eat and you go, oh, can I get a table of six? You can't go for a table of five.
And they hate that too. The waitresses hate that. They're right. Like five, and you want a six or eight person, you know, sometimes they're larger tables.
Yeah. So, but each and every one's a blessing, obviously, you know.
Do you have boy, girl?
So I have two boys. I have Elijah and Ezra. Elijah is 4 years old and Ezra is one. So that's a, you know, they're a fantastic blessing. And
if you do have a third, Ezra is the middle of the Bible. So you can have
that's true.
I think that's kind of destined to be a middle child right there. So
no, and then I really wouldn't be able to shoot. All my time had gone. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be able to compete. Nothing.
So how old are they?
So Elijah is one, four, and Ezra is one. And so hopefully when they, get older, that they would, enjoy shooting as much as I do. But, obviously I want them to pick their interests, There's nothing worse than getting something pushed on you that you're not really interested in. But
so Philip Hepler, he went to the Cajun Classic. He's a Red Wolf shooter as well. And he is a Day State shooter. I'm always trying to get him to go to Extreme Field Target. So you got to do that for me, kind of encourage him and bug him about
that. So I talked to him about it actually at occasions. And he goes, man, I really would like to dip my foot into it. And I think if he would just shoot it once,
I said that to him this week. I called him up. I'm like, hey, can you talk? And he's like, yeah. So I called him up. I'm like, why aren't you doing this? Because you're going to do it. And then you're going to look back and say, that was the biggest mistake of my life, not doing this event. I'm like, just cut out one of these smaller events and go to that one.
Right.
You know, but
now, do they even have EFT close to him? He's in North Carolina, right?
No, I know that there's some things happening in the background. So there's a potential of an event likely happening in Pennsylvania. So there's that. And I think that there may be some other things going around that area. I know that there's potentially one. I'll kind of leave it there because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But there's potentially a couple events going to be popping up. But currently, this last year, no, there hasn't been anything. And actually, the first GP ever east of the Mississippi was the Grand Prix that AOA and I threw in Florida. So hopefully that's the first of many, but there should be some popping up the United States. The question I was going to ask though, I'm always challenging Philip Hepler to break into that other discipline. Where do you see yourself going with the competitive side? Because you're very competitive, you're a natural competitor. Where do you think you're going in the next couple of years with air guns?
I think really, and I guess I would like to obviously make it to RMAC. Next year, I think that, getting out of just like your normal little bubble to go and stretch your wings and, try other venues, even NAC or Pyramid Air Cup. I'd like to try going to some of these other events as well. I guess discipline wise, I would like to make a lot of progress in is my bench rest. Field target, big bore was a ton. I never shot big bore and I won third place last year at EBR. And so with Derek's gun. So that was a ton of fun. Anybody that has the opportunity to shoot big bore should definitely do it.
What was Derek's big bore that you used?
So he has a 357 Bulldog, the Benjamin Bulldog that was modified by Brian Thurman at Veridium Air. And so they did like all kinds of valve modifications and barrels and all kinds of stuff on there. It's a bulb up. I mean, Derek's a big bulb up fan. If you know Derek at all, I mean, he's the size
caliper gun, every caliper gun out there.
Yes.
I hate bulb ups and like, I just have to deal with it because it's like everyone wants a bullpup. So yeah. Most of the guns I sell are bullpups, but I hate them. I like the Revere. It's a beautiful gun, you know, beautiful classic. Gun.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Even though I have a 700cc bottle on my Ghost, so it kind of stretches it out a little bit for me. You know, but typically I don't get along with bullpups as well as I do full size, you know, rifles like the Red Wolf or Revere. You know, kind of going back, I definitely would like to see my bench rest get a lot better. Reading the wind is just, I mean, as you can probably hear around me, it's windy, you know, in Oklahoma all the time. I joke with Barbara and Augie and Mike, and you know, they go, oh, we had it. They send a picture of their groups on the chat, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, we had a little bit of wind today, and it was like a 2 mile an hour wind, you know, like, or a 3 mile an hour wind. And you're just like, that's like dead still in Oklahoma. That's no wind at all. You could shoot groups all day long and they're going to be like that. Right. But, in Oklahoma here, I mean, like last weekend, it was literally blowing 15 mile an hour with 25 mile an hour gusts. We shoot with berms on either side of our range, where we shoot. We don't have like the woods and all that stuff. And that's one other thing I'd say, going kind of back to getting, you know, places getting into EFT, you know, extreme field target, is that you don't have to have the cool scenery and, you know, yada yada. You just have to have the space to do it. You know, that's a good and a bad thing, right? You don't, you know, we use the 100-yard range to set up our, in Oklahoma City, to shoot our extreme field target. But, that and bench rest, and I need to practice some more on speed, shooting speed. Tom Adams and I, and Nick from Air Arms. What is his last
Nick
name?
Gregoris. Nick Gregoris.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna be going head to head again this next DBR. So
yeah, you guys are all three of you guys are very just, I don't know, good people. So
yeah.
Nick Gregoris is a really pleasant man, and so is, yes, Tom. He is. Very nice guy. So
they're both, yeah, phenomenal guys.
Yeah. Well, I think we've come to a natural conclusion. I'm gonna let you get back to your kids, and
all right,
it's
man.
Been great having you on. I'll probably see you at EBR. I don't know 100% if I go
hope
there.
So.
Or not,
I hope you'll be there. I'm gonna be there. But yeah. I hope you're there.
I hope I'm there too. I live on the other side of the country now, so it's like I said, I traveled 7 times across the country this last 2 years. So
yeah, don't you have a Yaris, Toyota Yaris?
I do. Yeah, 52 miles per gallon.
Hey, dude, this economy, that's big. Like, yeah, I mean, manual.
Okay, I got hit by 2 people, and then I hit a deer, totaled it, and like fixed it for $300. So it won't die.
Hey, I'd ride it till the wheels fall off, baby. I mean, I would.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
It has, like, a cult following. Like, people are like, oh, Tristan, you know. But then they see the car, they're like, the Yaris! This is awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I remember some of your videos of, like, you testing out equipment and stuff like that. And you just, like, running it over with the Yaris or, you know.
Better than a tractor, you know.
Yeah. Hey, if it can survive the Yaris, it can survive anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I appreciate you letting me come on, and, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah. And really quick before we go, where can people find and follow you?
So it's, CD_ Oki Air Gunner on Instagram, Caleb Dickinson, Facebook. Most time I'm just on Instagram and Facebook. So I normally post on Facebook, Instagram, and it transfers to Facebook, but, I don't have Twitter or any of that other stuff.
You don't tweet your peeps. It's X now. Don't forget. You're hurting Elon's feelings if we call it Twitter.
I think he'll be okay.
Into better pastures.
Yeah.
I need to go on there more because it's like way more free than Instagram, but I'm seemingly on Facebook the most and Instagram.
Yeah. Same here.
All right, my friend. Well, I'll let you go.
All right. Thank you so much.
The
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Atlas Airguns podcast. If you liked today's episode, make sure to like with a 5-star rating, share, and subscribe to help us make more content.